Titus 2:11-15. Now, I'm calling this discourse something like the key or the vital key, the vital issue. Let me try and explain what I mean. Here is the apostle writing to Titus, and he's told him that he's got to apply the gospel, and he's got to make sure that the assemblies are applying the gospel to all the believers. And then he comes to this section, and I think this is a cardinal section in this letter. Indeed, I think it's a very important section in the entire Bible. Let me read it to you. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These, then, are the things you should teach, encourage and rebuke with all authority. Don't let anyone despise you. That's Titus 2, verse 11 to verse 15. I want to take an overview of this little section, because the overview contains this vital, cardinal point, this key, not only to this letter, but to the Christian life. Let me explain to you. The apostle is clearly concerned with believers. I know he talks about all men in verse 11, and there is a word there for all men in general. And if any unbeliever is listening to me, then hear this. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared, and has appeared to you. And of course, the apostle here is speaking about Jesus Christ, his blood, his righteousness, his death upon the cross, his life of holiness, yielded up, a perfect sacrifice, his death, resurrection, his ascension. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to you. The offerings of mercy go out to you. Come to Jesus Christ now and be saved. Repent, believe, and be converted to Jesus Christ, and you will be everlastingly saved. Now, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. There is that general statement, a very wonderful statement too. But the point is, this whole passage is to do with believers. It's teaching believers. It teaches us to say no. It teaches us to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. It teaches us, while we're waiting for the blessed hope, the appearing of Jesus Christ again. He gave himself for us, the Son of God who loved me, and gave himself for me, Galatians 2:20, to redeem a people, redeem us from all wickedness, and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These are the things you should teach then, and it's believers, believers. And the apostle wants this taught to believers to teach, edify, above all, to sanctify, progressively sanctify believers. Now, there can be no doubt about that. There can be no question of it. There's no issue here. It definitely is this. The teaching of the gospel, the teaching ministry, to encourage holiness, godliness, spirituality in the life of every believer, old and young, rich and poor, male and female, whatever station in life, whatever stage in the Christian life, the newest believer, the most mature believer. This is what the apostle wants. This is what the assembly should be doing. We've seen this in general. It's coming in particular here. Now, what is the staggering point? What is the vital point here? Well, my friend, for many people listening to me now, their churches, their teachers, their catechisms, their confessions tell you something about this. They all address it, and they teach this. The way of progressive sanctification is by the law, the moral law. You get it from Calvin, you get it from the Puritans, you get it from the Reformed, you get it from the Westminster Confession, you get it from the 1689, and so on and so on and so on. And most believers think the way to get progressive sanctification is by the moral law. There is no such thing. It's a false division of the scriptures, but I'm not going to go into that here. They think it's by the law. Calvin said it in concrete. The third use of the law, he said, is the perfect rule of life for holiness for the believer. And we preach the law to bring the saints to sanctification. Now look at Paul here. Look at Paul writing to Titus. There isn't a whiff of a hint of a suggestion of law in any of these verses. But what there is here, and it's not just a whiff of a hint of a suggestion, it comes over and over again, the grace of God. The grace of God. Grace, God. God's grace that leads, that brings to salvation. That's what is here. Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, for us, to redeem us, to cleanse us, to wash us, to perfect us in himself. Our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own. And it's the grace of God that brings salvation that has appeared to all men. It teaches us, verse 12. Notice that. It's not the law that teaches us. It teaches us to say no. Law doesn't teach us to say no. It's the grace of God that brings salvation that teaches us to say no. I'm not making up. I'm not saying this because I'm a New Covenant theologian. I am a New Covenant theologian because this text says it. This is what the truth is. It's by the grace of God. It's the grace of God that brings salvation. It's the giving of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Lord Jesus Christ giving himself for my sins. This is what will make me holy. As I think upon this, as I preach this, as I teach this, as I meditate upon this and this person, these things then, this is what's here. And look, verse 15 could not be more explicit. These then are the things you should teach. Not the law. The law doesn't sanctify us. Christ, the gospel sanctifies us. Grace sanctifies us. The grace of God. The giving of the Lord Jesus Christ. His own giving of himself upon the cross. His coming again. His intercession, his prayers, his person, his works, his merits. These are the things you must preach. These then are the things you should teach. And go on doing it, says Paul to Titus. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Don't let anyone despise you. Not even these covenant theologians. Don't. I'm paraphrasing there, but that's what I've got to say to myself. Don't let these people put me off. It isn't law that will do it. It's grace, grace, grace. Grace is the topmost stone here. This is the vital point, my brothers and sisters. Now, I'm not just preaching this because it's in the text. Paul says Titus has to do it. Titus has to make sure the elders are doing it. We have to make sure every believer is doing it. We're preaching Christ to one another and to ourselves. I want to think upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to meditate upon him. I want to wait upon him. I want to know him and love him, because I know in thinking of Christ and his love for me, his death for me, the grace of God, that will produce holiness of life within me. And nothing else will do. These things then are what I want to preach and teach, to myself first of all, then to you and to others. And of course, it's not just over the pulpit. It's in every conversation, in all manner of life, to be thinking on the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to be a legal man. I want to be a grace man. I don't want to be preaching law. I want to be preaching Christ. It's grace, not law, that ends antinomianism. Grace, and grace brings sanctification. Law doesn't. Grace does. And I'm not making it up. It's Titus 2, 11 to 15. It's the key, my friend. It's the key to Titus. It's the key to the New Testament. It's the key to sanctification. These things are what you have to teach. The grace of God that brings salvation. The coming again of the Lord Jesus. His death. His first coming. His death. His giving of himself to redeem us, and his coming again, the blood and righteousness of Christ. These are the things. These are the things. It's not things. It's the person, merits, and work of the Lord Jesus. By the way, unbeliever, it's the same message for you. If you would be saved from your sins, it's Christ. Brother and sister, if you would be sanctified in life, it's Christ. I have a hymn. It's by a lady called Jane Leeson. I'm going to change just one word in her. Him, she had the word young. I'm going to put the word new. It's not precisely on the subject, but it's close to it. It's based on the text, we love him, we love Christ, because he first loved us. We are sanctified because he gave himself for us. Savior, teach me day by day, love sweet lesson to obey. Sweeter lesson cannot be, loving him who first loved me. With a new glad heart of love, at thy bidding may I move, prompt to serve and follow thee, loving him who first loved me. Teach me all thy steps to trace, strong to follow in thy grace, learning how to love from thee, loving him who first loved me. Love in loving finds employ, in obedience all her joy, ever new that joy will be, loving him who first loved me. Thus may I rejoice to show that I feel the love I owe, singing till thy face I see of his love who first loved me. Now, my brothers and sisters, let us go and do likewise. Let us think on the Lord Jesus. Let us speak of the Lord Jesus. Let us set our hearts and affections upon the Lord Jesus. And then may we live for the Lord Jesus, all for the glory of God. Amen.